Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, I'm looking at it 7 seconds ago. Oh. 7 seconds ago, guys. Are you with me? Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here with me, Sal Capaccio. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, the Bills have tweeted out their video, and we're watching it. I'm watching it. You watching it?
I am. I'm watching it. It's a 47-second right video. The leak is going to be real because it's already close enough.
Yes.
To, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I like them.
Do you see the detail on the logo on the shoulder?
Yep.
Man.
The charging buffalo on the shoulder.
Buffalo is sweet.
Yeah, these are great. They're great. I'm going to buy one. It looks like diamond ice, silver numbers.
Yeah, these are great.
These are great.
Okay, good.
Still watching the video.
I'm glad you like them. I do too. Can I tell you what they reminded me of in the very first picture? UB.
Yeah, for sure.
Same thing.
Just mainly because it said Buffalo on the chest, and we thought UB. I think they're great. I'm gonna get one. I think they're sweet.
The ice texture and the stripe down the middle of the helmet is a great addition.
I think they did a good job here.
Yeah, these are very good.
Big fan. All right, I want to see the other teams. You know, like we got the Bills, we got the Cardinals.
I know, right?
So the Bills are out. The leak appears to be correct.
With all the other teams, too? I mean, well, with the Bills, at least. So you might imagine that the others will.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't follow the other
that
teams.
That detail of the buffalo on the shoulder is
awesome.
Super cool.
It's reminiscent of when the Sabres released their 50th anniversary uniforms, and the mane on the buffalo, like the hair, was so like specifically whatever woven that it was really nice. Like, if the jerseys have that same feature on the shoulder, they're going to be – I think they're great.
Ooh, the Cardinals are awesome. Yeah. I love the Cardinals uniforms. I bet of the ones – there's eight teams. I bet the Bills are going to be my second favorite. I think the Cardinals are my – like, some of them I didn't like in the league. The Cardinals are sweet. The desert detail,
I haven't seen
the
them yet.
Sand.
So where can I go to see all of these?
Probably just, each team's account.
That's what I did, yeah. I just went to the Cardinals like account because I figured – having them all in one place is probably coming too, but
all right. I'm on the Seahawks because I was very optimistic about
theirs.
The
Seahawks have like they have 4 days they're going to be a part of it, but only but three of them are the away games and one's the home game. Like, they're literally going to be a part of this for four different times.
The Seahawks are unveiling theirs. It said tomorrow, so here we are today. We're waiting on it. My whole, my entire family's
right,
here.
I'm watching the Jets.
My entire family's here because the spider has told them to move out. I don't know if you heard about it, Sal. We got a big spider. You guys can come in. You guys come in.
The Jets are like a greenish black, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's the Jets. I'm looking at the Jets now. They have a minute and 14 long video.
Okay.
It is a because of the green like lighting, I can't tell the color of the uniform.
Exactly. I was just saying thinking the same thing. I can't tell what color it is because the lighting is so screwy.
I think it's green. Is it a dark green?
It's like a green. It's greenish.
It's
greenish,
supposed to be
gray.
Like, it's supposed to be like Gotham City.
They did a terrible job at showing everybody what their uniform looks
like. Yeah, the Dolphins. The Bills gave a longer video. The Dolphins is 15 seconds long.
Here we go. The Jets tweeted out an image of it, and it's like barely green. Like you could on TV, it's going to look black to I think most people, but it's kind of green.
You know what? The Jets signature feature of this uniform is the font.
The Gotham City font?
Yeah, the font.
Oh, yeah.
The font,
yeah.
Especially
right.
Like the number 20 looks pretty cool. Sorry, on the radio, we're giving you all these visuals, but
yeah,
I mean, whatever. I think it's a cool day. And I think the Bills have nailed it. I'm a big fan.
They also changed their
Niners
profile
the
pick,
one.
And I think if you look at it, it looks like a manhole cover, like the design on a manhole cover, if that makes sense, the little like crisscross metal pattern.
Yeah.
That's what the shoulders on their jerseys look like. Not, I know you guys were talking about Rhodes earlier, but I think it's more like a manhole cover.
Okay.
All right, I'm looking at New England now.
Also,
kind of looks like the Bills, but theirs is just blue, and I think the Bills is better
in
terms of
I'm getting
detail.
A lot of people getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. See how I did that? We got that sponsor read-in to let you know that I have people tweeting me, at Sal Sports, saying how much they remind them of UB's uniforms.
Yeah.
I agree. It looks like the UB white, and I love the UB white uniforms.
Yeah. New England's, mm-hmm. The star of New England's show here, they're kind of gray, muted gray. I think they're okay. It's like a gray sky. The numbers are really cool for New England. They've got some texturing in the numbers. They're fine. They got a New England on the sleeve. All right. New England's fine. And then who did we not do yet?
I watched the Niners, and they're fine. I just them
did the
wearing
Niners
black.
Reveal theirs?
Yeah, they revealed theirs, and it's just black with the red lettering and red stripe. Like it looks okay. I just think they could have done so much better with Bay Area, and there should have been colorful. And I don't know why they're going black on black.
Am I the first one to check the Rams?
Oh, I haven't looked at the
Midnight
Rams.
Mode activated. One of the things about the leak was it looked like there was some blue left over on the Rams, and it is included. It is black with yellow ram horns, and the shoulders remain blue. So they are black and yellow with blue. Okay. I think the Bills have done very well for themselves.
I think Bills are top two.
All I need to see is Seattle, because their video was very short. I didn't see it. Seattle, have they posted their video yet? Still no.
Have they got an 12, image?
12 minutes ago, they just tweeted an emotion or an emoji with a silence.
Do we think Nike is reaching out right now, like seeing all the teams and like they're calling Seattle, like, hey, what's your problem? Everybody else is good to go. They tweeted it out like at the exact second, and Seattle's just here with nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I John tweeted in a picture, as you said this, Sal, like the UB logo that says Buffalo that's white. Like, yes, it's a white jersey that says Buffalo on it. There's a significant number of elements that are different. I think it's good. I think it's. I'm a big fan. I'm gonna get one.
Okay, we really have a rivalry now because you see how the Patriots are touting their uniforms.
Winter storm,
nor'easter.
A winter storm warning in effect. What are we doing?
I did. They said us. They said that in their teaser too.
They did.
And theirs looked very similar to the Bills in their teaser like a month ago. So I think we knew that was coming. I'm with you though. Like. We're going to have two teams doing snow theme. I don't know.
Listen, I'm going to leave. Before anything, I just got to let you know, I'm looking at these Bills jerseys. They're so clean.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, you have to say that. I have to say, you're law. You're
also,
required by law to say that.
Rydell, the helmet maker, or the face mask maker, they tweeted out a picture of, it's Deion Dawkins from the video, and it's him yelling with the uniform on in the snow with the snowflake as the face mask. He's like, this is the coldest photo of all time.
How do you like my
idea? Actually,
Sal, how do you like my idea?
I do like the Patriots.
Yeah, I do too. How do you like?
I think the color is super cool. Like, I like that color. That's a nice color for them.
How do you like my idea of getting a Dawkins jersey, but writing "Snowman" on the back? of this jersey. Right? All right, I'm going to go. See you guys.
All right.
Joe, stick around for a minute.
My kids brought in donuts, Joe, if you want some donuts.
I got 1 minute.
Yeah. All right, did you see the dates and all the teams and all the times and all that this is happening for all these games?
For the schedule? Let me pull that up.
Well, I'm just saying, when all these uniforms are being worn, there's
but one, I had two, seen three, it, four, yeah.
There's eight games, right? There's eight games. And I looked at it, thanks to my buddy Mike who sent this to me. I had not seen it. Rivalries 2025 schedule. The Bills are only involved in one. It's the one they're wearing.
Okay.
Week five against the Patriots. The Patriots are involved in two. They're also wearing theirs against the Jets. The Jets are involved in three. They're at the Dolphins, at the Patriots, and they're wearing it against the Dolphins.
Right.
49ers and Cardinals only in one each, the ones they're wearing. The Rams only in one. But you know who they're all wearing it against? The Seahawks. The Seahawks are involved in four of these games.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Every single team in the division the Seahawks are playing, when they go to that stadium, the other team will be wearing their rivalry uniforms.
Okay. Interesting.
Is that wild?
Yeah, that's actually that's good for them, isn't it? Wait, when they're in their stadium or when they're on the road, you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Huh. And the Bills only get the one game.
The Bills are only the one time, one team.
Now,
so we'll see. The Jets, and you're going to have week four is the first time we're going to see these. There's two games.
Right.
Then week five with the Bills. Then we wait till week 11. There's two games. Then week 14, there's one. Week 16, there's two.
Right. It does say Bills Mafia, by the way, in the back collar of the jersey.
It does.
Which, by the way, I'm sure, I would guess that if you're buying that jersey for yourself, that it would include that. Remember, though, that's only for this year. Like, we could see opponents in the future because I think these are supposed to be worn for 3 years. So, by every team. So maybe we see New England next year or the Jets or some rotation.
So one question that came up was to me, why didn't they have these teams? Like, how does it a rivalry game, rival uniform, if you're not both wearing it? And my answer would be, I think it'd be a little difficult to, A, you might have a clash in colors, you never know, because there's two white teams, right? Two teams with white uniforms.
Yep.
And B, you might look too much like a color rush. It might already do that, but I think they're trying to avoid that.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that right, because they wouldn't have also done, reached out to teams like, hey, who's your rival? Who's the rival you want to wear them against? Because, I mean, when the Bills have said the Dolphins instead of New England, I wonder how that process all went. Or if that even existed. If they asked teams about that. Maybe the Bills wanted to do it just because, hey, this is a Sunday night game and it's New England, so that's better off. We'd rather do that since we're on primetime than, if we had played the Jets, in the middle of an afternoon.
I like the way the Bills revealed it. Cold front with the snow coming down. It's just very clean, icy, cold, ice. It speaks Buffalo. I like it. I like these uniforms. They have the steam coming off the ice. I guess you'd say the smoke, whatever, you know what I call it, condensation coming off the uniforms during the video. So from a production standpoint, I think it was also very well done by the Bills here. I'll give them credit because I don't think that some of the other teams did their production that well. We just talked about the Jets.
Yeah.
You just kind of couldn't see the color of it. So I do like it. Hey, everybody's got their own opinion. I don't understand people telling me how much they don't like it right now. So I think it's cool. I think it's clean. But I also will say, Joe, I've always liked traditional kind of clean-looking uniforms. I like Penn State's uniforms, and there's really nothing to them other than being clean.
Right. Okay, so we do have the final one, and then I gotta roll here. Seattle.
Yeah, you got it. Sorry.
Seattle just posted two images. They don't have a video out yet, but two images of their jerseys. And I think the helmet is gradient. I think it's blue in the middle and it kind of becomes green on the sides. I think they're supposed to be doing something with sound waves, which might be what the detail on the shoulders are. So I don't like them as much as the Bills or the Cardinals, but they might be next. I like what Seattle did here.
Joe, thanks for sticking around, buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it.
See you.
Yeah, you got it. Sneaky Joe DiBiase, he is the host, of course, Jeremy and Joe. I am Sal Capaccio, and this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. All right, so you see it. Let's react to it. I'll get your reaction. Have you seen it? Go take a look. Go find it. Go find the Bills' rivalry uniforms. We'll take calls on that if you'd like, but also calls on the Bills and what they're doing and what they have done in the 53-man roster. I haven't been on here with you since that roster was announced, so we can go through that. Obviously, some big news with the team bringing back Jordan Poyer, bringing back Jordan Phillips. We'll get to them. We'll actually play what Jordan Poyer had to say, maybe even Jordan Phillips. We have all that sound for you, so I'll get to that in a little while to hear Jordan Poyer
talk about his return to the Bills. And I spoke to him a little bit after that as well. And it was a really good conversation about, you know, I just think there's a good lesson in life here too, right? And if you allow me for a second, I think this isn't just about football for me. When I think about, yes, I know he's here, play football, win football games. There's no doubt. And it does tie into football, right? But I had a really nice conversation with Jordan Poyer after he, you know, spoke to the media yesterday. And, you know, I've covered Jordan pretty much, you know, well, since he was in Buffalo, pretty much his whole career, but not quite. He was obviously started off 4 years in Cleveland and Philly. But anyway, it's a way to say that, you know, over the many years, got to know each other and talk to each other after games and during practices and things like that. And it was just nice catching up. And one thing that we both spoke about was, and granted, I'm, you know, 20 years older than Jordan Poyer, but I said to him and he said to me, and we've agreed, like, as you get older in life, your legacy could already be written about what you've done in your line of work, in your career, in your walk of life. Maybe it's many things. Maybe it's one thing. As you get older, like, that's part of it, right? But then I think you transition at some point. At some point, I think everyone, to me, hopefully goes through this. Maybe you don't. I've gone through this. I'm going through this now. And I say this to people all the time. Yeah, I still have a job. I take pride in my job. I do my job. This is what I'm known for. But what really resonates to me now as I get older is how much of I can be of service to others to help them. And I think at some point, you get to a point in life where you realize that that's kind of what you should be about, what you are about, and where your lasting impact is truly going to be made when you leave this earth. And I mean, I'm not stopping. I always say I'll do this job as long as I can, as long as I can talk and write if I have to, whatever. Like, I love my job. I love what I do. I always say no one's timing me in the 40-yard dash, although you should. We didn't do that this year at training camp, but that is something I still want to do that. But no one's timing me in the 40. I don't have to be on the ready to play an NFL football game. I love what I do, and I won't stop. So it's not about that. What it is, though, is seeing, too, that as you get older and as you have already kind of done the things that you're supposed to do and it's part of your job, you see how you can impact others who are doing the same thing. And Jordan Poyer, through my conversation with him, I think is at that point in his life where he understands, like Micah Hyde last year, you know, he wants to help others achieve greatness and win a Super Bowl and be a part of a winning organization and understand what their role is on a football team and understand what their role is as a football player, as a teammate. And I think that's cool. I do. And I don't think it comes naturally or easy for everyone. I don't. You have to, in a lot of ways, take a step back and understand. But once you do, and as you get, like I say, a little older, a little more experienced, it could happen at any point in your life. I've gone through this and I'm going through this and I love it. And I love the fact that I can in some way, shape or form, maybe impact or help other people in life, especially younger people in this business. It's a great kind of feeling for me to do it. But I think overall help to them and what they're about. And maybe it's just something small in their community, right? Whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be in the job. Doesn't it be professional? It could be personal. And I say all this because that's a big part of why Jordan Poyer and Jordan Phillips are here. I got a lot of stuff yesterday from people saying, well, why would they do this? If they have to play him, they're in trouble. And that's probably true. Like, let's be honest, right? We know Jordan Poyer he hasn't been the same player the last couple of years. He wasn't in Buffalo 2 years ago, and he certainly wasn't last year in Miami when we saw him. But that's not truly what it's about. He's one of the last guys on the roster, pretty much. There's 70 guys on a roster. And, you know, you're dipping into safety number 6, basically, if he's on the field. And that's not the plan, I wouldn't think, initially at least. The plan is for him to help out in a way that it's not just, oh, coaching on the field. Well, why do they have coaches if they're bringing him in? It's not like truly coaching. He's playing. He's a player on the team. But I love what Brandon Bean said yesterday. You could watch through how he acts in a meeting room, how he watches film, the questions he asks, the experience he brings on how he's played in this league. Those are things that matter. So, yeah, I mean, that's why. He doesn't want, as far as my knowledge, he doesn't want to be a coach. So, you know, whatever. I mean, people said that about Derek Anderson a couple years ago. Was it Derek Anderson? Or how about this? I think the best one was Davis Webb. Davis Webb made it known he wanted to coach. Like, it was a big thing, but he wasn't ready to. So he wanted to be a player still. He could help out and be in the meeting rooms and still had to have an NFL career. So there's a lot of things that go into that. My point I'm making is I think there's a really, really bigger picture here that we can all kind of take a lesson from and hope that it's happening here in Buffalo too, with Jordan Poyer coming back, not just as a player on the team, but service to others and helping out others to do what the ultimate goal and achievement is personally and professionally as a team and as an individual. And I think a lot of you driving around, a lot of you listening right now, maybe you haven't gone through this, haven't experienced this, and a lot of you have, and I have, and I think it's cool and I like it, and it's a good spot to be in, I think, when you realize that and what you can do and what your legacy can be. So anyway, that's a TED Talk with Sal, right? Mike in Pennsylvania starts us off. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal, how are you? First of all, those uniforms are awesome. I love the, the solid white. I feel like white being the Buffalo, the snow town of America, I feel like that's great. But my point, Mike, my call was going to be about who would look good in those white uniforms, and that's Micah Parsons. I know there's been some talk about, Buffalo's name being, drawn to Micah Parsons in a trade. I got to think Jerry Jones gets the deal done before, but I don't know how, each side is, the relationship's tarnished. So with all that said, do you think, I know it's probably not likely, but what do you think a package would look like to pull in Micah Parsons, and how, we're concerned about our safety help with having Parsons and Bosa and maybe Rousseau and Milano. We could probably mask some of the deficiencies on the back end with the pass rush.
Okay, so I'm not trying to cop out, Mike, but it's very, very tough to project something like that. I would say it this way. Multiple first-round picks and players. How about that? I mean, that's what you're looking at. I have no idea what – there are so many little intricacies and details you'd have to look into. And the biggest thing is financially. Like, how do you fit something like that in financially, and how much money has to go out? How much money is coming in? What's the dead money on people you're trading? How do you rework his contract? So I have zero clue what a package would look like. I have no idea what Dallas would want. I would just say it would have to be multiple first-round picks plus players, I would think. That's what you're probably looking at. I just think it's very, very difficult to make things like that happen. Great idea. I love it if you get Micah Parsons here in Buffalo, right? He's a young, elite pass rusher in this league. I absolutely would love something like that. I just don't see how the Bills could pull it off. Then again, I didn't think they were bringing Jordan Poyer back. I dismissed it, and they did. Let's go to Marvin on a cell. Marvin, how are you, man? Good to hear from you.
Sal, it's been a long time. Long time. Yeah, Sal, I was listening to you, and you're talking to a guy that's in the twilight of his life, and, when it comes right down to it, if I had 5 years left or whatever, I'd be more than happy. But at the end of the day, you need to develop young players. And having Poyer in there, and this whole rah-rah thing in coaching, I just don't buy it. Either you can play football or you can't. Either you can play the game or you can't. And that's the bottom line. You play little league, you play high school, you play college, you come out, and, it's just like I said, the Bills need to develop young players. And I just think that whole rah-rah thing, to me, is – just like you guys are going off on the uniforms. Oh, wow. Oh, they're beautiful. I want to see football. I don't care what they're wearing. You know what I mean? That's nice. Yeah, the women. Oh, look at the uniforms. I got to go buy one. That does nothing for a football. A football person, he doesn't care what they're wearing. But my point is you got to develop young players. And with Jordan Poyer on the team, great guy. He was a great player. He's past it. Like I said, I'm in the twilight of my life. And at the end of the day, I can't do what I used to do. Not even close. And he can't either. Just go look at the film. And when you did, go look at the game when we played against Miami. It was sad to see. So that's my other point. The other point is, I talked to you about this, about Elam. He's penciled in to be the starting corner in Dallas. And I told you there was something going on with Buffalo. And I'm a firm believer of it. So your comments, I'm glad that I could get to talk to you again. I was down and out for a while, but thanks for the time, Sal. I appreciate it.
You got it. Yeah, my comment is on Elam. You still don't know if he's going to be good. He could be starting for a lot of teams in this league, and it doesn't mean he's going to be good or make an impact. And maybe he is. It's great. And I think we all knew that there was definitely a clash of some sort. And I said it, Marvin, there's a clash of some sort with how they were using him or his coaches or philosophies. No doubt about it. It was clear. It just was, he needed a change of scenery. He did. And maybe it's great for him. Maybe he's going to be an all-pro corner, Marvin. He also might be terrible as a starter. You don't know that. Just because someone's starting on a team doesn't mean they'll be great. And good for him. I love Kyrie Elam as a person. Great, great kid. No doubt about it. Good for him. I'm rooting for him. Doesn't mean it would have worked here, ever. And I don't know. And people could say he never got a chance here. Absolutely he did. What do you think practice is for? Marvin, you're such an old school guy. You think they don't practice every day to give a guy a chance? Of course. Coaches aren't trying to lose or trying to win. He got a chance. So did Christian Benford. And Benford beat him out. And he's a 6th-round pick. So, yeah, great. Great for Kyrie Elam. And if he winds up being an all-pro corner, then we can say chalk it up to one. The Bills absolutely had not only whiffed on the draft pick, which we can say now, but whiffed on the development too. As far as Poyer and developing young players, hey, I don't disagree. You have to develop young players. Brandon Bean was asked a really good question yesterday about that, which is how do you balance getting a young guy in here you could develop versus a guy like Jordan Poyer who you're not trying to develop, but he's here for other reasons. And Brandon said it is something you think about. But look, Marvin, I mean, you're talking about the last couple of guys on a roster. Even if you had a guy who was a young player, he's probably never going to play. Most of these practice squad guys never play. They might. Tyrell Shavers took 3 years to even crack the roster, right? Cam Lewis took 2 years to crack, right? He's a good player now. You know, you just don't know. So their philosophy, and I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, I understand your point. Their philosophy is, hey, A, we get a guy here who understands, and by the way, Marvin, to them, he is helping develop young players. That's what their philosophy is on this. So I hear you. I'm with you. He's not the same player. They're also not asking him to play right now. He's on the practice squad. You know what the practice squad does? What is the number one role? Marvin, you should know this as a football guy. And if you don't, then I'll teach it to you. The number one role of a practice squad guy is to help the other side get better, the offense or the defense. You know how you do that? Yes, by being a good player, but by mimicking everything, being coached to be exactly where you're supposed to coach, seeing everything and saying, this is what the defense is thinking, so I'm going to show you this, giving them the look. So that's what they're hoping for the Jordan Poyer role, right? And Jordan Phillips. There was something else. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they're going to wear, at the end of the day, of course, no one really, I guess, most people, I'm the same way as you, like, just go play football. But this is the world we live in, Marvin. Sorry to disappoint you, but there are new uniforms now all the time. And when they get revealed, people have an opinion on them. So we're going to give ours. 803-0550 is the number to call. Thanks for the phone call. And we'll be back after this timeout. When we do, you will hear from new, not so new, Buffalo Bills safety, Jordan Poyer, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Amidst all the hubbub last half hour, I forgot to tell you that Carl Jones is going to join me at 11 a.m., top of the hour. Carl, of course, Channel 4, WIVB-TV, also former Syracuse football defensive back, Syracuse, Tennessee, Saturday in Atlanta, college football. Tonight, the University of Buffalo Bulls take on Minnesota, Big Ten against the MAC. Josh, I was in the locker room yesterday talking with guys, and I was talking with Jamarcus Ingram about the UB game tonight. And then as I'm talking to him, Javon Solomon just walks up and goes, Troy's playing UB this year at Buffalo. I'm like, ooh, are you guys going to put a bet on that? So I think they put a bet on it. I saw them shake right in front of me. They put a bet like they have to wear each other's gear or something between when Troy plays Buffalo.
That's cool. I wonder, you know, last time that you had a UB guy with another fellow collegiate player, like, you know, playing against each other like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happened a few times. Oh, yeah, I mean, the Mac, sure. I mean, heck. I mean, you think about Reggie Gilliam's a Mac guy. He went to Toledo.
Yeah, that's right. So that's probably
you get guys like that. But I mean, but I think this one is one where you don't usually see these two teams play. And Javon Solomon's like, he got up and he's like, I'm Troy, baby. Troy's playing Buffalo. Jamarcus is like, yeah, so? Anyway, I'm just kind of over-exaggerating. But it was cool. They were having a good time with it. And then Cam Lewis, you know, I'm like 2-on-1 here because Cam Lewis is right there. Like, wait a minute, you got two Buffalo guys, one Troy guy here, Javon Solomon. But UB plus play Minnesota tonight. And then you have Saturday, Syracuse, Tennessee, Carl Jones. We'll touch on that a little bit. And Carl's actually, he grew up in Ohio. He's an Ohio State guy. He follows them. So just a little on college football. We are here at week one. Wasn't last week week zero? So this is week one for college football. I think that's the case. And then, of course, the Bills. And we'll get Carl's thoughts. And then an hour from now, folks, it begins. your weekly update from Hammer Time. Patrick Hammer, I am not hosting tomorrow, so we're going to do it today. Next Friday, he's going to be along for weather for the Bills game. But now, today, Thursday at 11:30, coming up in an hour, Pat Hammer on the Labor Day weekend. I figured we get him on Thursday anyway because you got a Labor Day weekend tomorrow. People going out of town maybe, leaving on Friday. You got Saturday, Sunday, Monday. What's it look like? It's a little cooler today, maybe some rain, but what's it look like for the weekend? Pat Hammer at 11:30, Carl Jones at 11, Carol right now from Tonawanda. Hi, Carol.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I have a couple things to bring up. I hope you let me discuss them with you. I think bringing in Phillips and Poyer is a great idea to coach and mentor. You can never be too prepared. I think we can all remember the playoff games a couple years back when we had about 10 players out. I think it would be great to have them in our pocket to put them in a pinch if we really needed them. The other thing is I wonder, you know, you were talking about the preparedness, the readiness of the players coming on, the new rookies. I wonder if the new payments in college are affecting their incentives to play and play hard. And also, you know, the salary competitiveness, maybe that needs to be looked at. I think some of the salaries are really getting out of control and maybe a prime opportunity to take a look at that. And also, it would be interesting to see from the college that Belichick's coaching at, the preparedness of those rookies coming out in the next 3 or 4 years, if he heightens the expectation of play. And then one more thing I would just like to say is that I think the Bills really need to come up with some new plays. In the playoffs, I know Josh Allen said that, you know, we don't want to share our arsenal, that kind of thing. But in the playoffs, we only saw some of the same plays, maybe with different players in different positions. But, you know, maybe that needs to look at. If we can beg, borrow, steal from some other teams, I think that would add to our new arsenal as well. We don't want teams to be looking at what we did last year and just, you know, be ready to take us on. So that's all I have to say. I'd like to hear what you have to share. Thanks very much. Bye.
You got it, Carol. Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. So I don't think you have to worry about, like, new plays. Every team, like, they're going to have – if you listen to Joe Brady, the way it works is they go back and look at what did we like, what did we not like, what works, what doesn't work. It really starts with Josh. What does he think is good and works for him? And they go from there. And every year they build out something different. But the NFL is a copycat league, Carol. So every team's going to kind of mimic what a lot of other teams do. They're successful against teams. For example, if you play the Patriots and they have a really successful run against the Bills, well, guess what? You're going to see that same run 2 weeks later against another team who said, oh, that team was successful. So wouldn't worry too much about that. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You want to do what's best for you in football. I love your point about NIL, about college players getting paid and, you know, coming into the league a little bit differently now that they have money under their belt. And that's actually something that I have spoken with NFL personnel people about, Carol, believe it or not, which is it is a concern sometimes. Did this guy get paid a bunch in college? Is he going to come into the NFL as hungry? He's not looking for the payday in the NFL anymore. He got his payday in college. Some of these quarterbacks in college easily making seven figures a year. Some of these quarterbacks, even non-quarterbacks now. It's crazy. Lots of guys making six figures a year at regular wide receivers, running backs, offensive end. And, you know, you go to the NFL, it's like, yeah, you made some money through 3-4 years in college. Maybe you're not as hungry anymore. It is real. It is something that is absolutely discussed. I don't think, Carol, though, that you're going to see anything in the NFL landscape shift with that. What I mean by that is I don't think the NFL is going to start adjusting their salary cap because of that, because the NFL salary cap is based on the total overall revenue from TV money and things like that. So it has nothing to do with college and NIL, but it is a great and fantastic point because it is something that is real. It's no different than when a player in the NFL plays 3-4 years and then gets rewarded with a monster contract. And sometimes they're not as good anymore. They don't have as much incentive. Brandon Bean talked about that with Christian Benford and how, hey, some guys downshift. This guy has not done it. He is going full throttle after getting paid. And you want to see that. You don't want to see them downshift. I don't know if anybody from Belichick will be any more prepared. Maybe. My question is, Carol, about Bill Belichick and coaching North Carolina is how much he'll last when he has a guy for 1 year and then say, oh, I'm going somewhere else because someone's giving me a better deal. Because I don't even know if he'll have that chance, to be quite honest with you. Did I answer all your questions? Does that make sense?
Sure did. Thanks very much.
You got it, Carol. I appreciate you calling. And great, great point on the NIL. And yeah, we're seeing these guys now. I mean, look at the Tennessee quarterback. I just told you, Tennessee's playing Syracuse Saturday. Tennessee had a quarterback last year who was making like, what, $2-3 million in NIL. I apologize if my numbers are wrong here, but basically the story was he was making like $2-3 million. He wanted like five. And Tennessee's like, we're not giving that to you. He's like, well, then I'm not going to play. And he didn't. And he didn't show up to practices in spring. So they're like, well, then heck with you. Get out of here. And they released him from his scholarship. And then he went somewhere else and got paid something. I mean, that's the world we live in college. I hate it from that standpoint. I love the fact that we're giving these college athletes something, but I hate that part of it. It's the Wild West. It's unregulated. It's terrible. And but it's never going to change, right? I mean, it's going to change in some regard. We're never going back to what it was in the 80s and 90s. Never, folks. Sorry. Yeah, we'd all love that, right? Like Marvin calls, and I think every time Marvin calls, he wants to go back to what it was in 1985. We just don't do that anymore. The game has changed. The rules have changed. The operation of it have changed. The TV has changed. The uniforms have changed. It's what you do. And you roll with it. And if you don't change with it, you're going to be changed, right? There's an old saying there. Good stuff. Love talking about it. Hey, I joined Mark Schlereth's The Stinkin' Truth podcast on Odyssey recently. Check that out, The Stinkin' Truth with Mark Schlereth. And I bring it up because we talked Bills, and we talked a lot about, I talk about this changing. This is what made me think of it. We had a real good X's and O's discussion on the running game and zone running game and how things have evolved since the 80s and 90s and gone back, and the game is cyclical. We talked about the Bills' revamped defense, the safety play, and that is the Mark Schlereth Stinkin' Truth podcast. Really cool. It was really fun to join him. And I put that on my YouTube page, at Sal Sports YouTube. That's where you can also find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove. We're always on YouTube, and we're doing live shows. And guess what's happening Friday, folks? Tomorrow, come see Matt Bove and me. We are going to be at Signals gas station in Irving. That's right, a gas station. You're going to get 10 cents off a gallon while we're there doing It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We're going to be doing the show in the 3 to 5 p.m. window. So we're going to show up around 3 o'clock, and sometime after that, we'll do about a 45-minute to an hour show, and then we'll be out of there at 5. But from 3 to 5, we'll be there. And in that time period, you get 10 cents off a gallon at Signals. This is Route 20 in Irving, by the way. All right? Head down there. You get 10 cents off a gallon. You can be entered to win Buffalo football merchandise signed from TSE Buffalo and Paula's Donuts and swag from WGR. I mean, what a great day. That's tomorrow. Come see Matt Bove and me at Signals, Route 20 in Irving. Don't fill up your gas tank today. Do it tomorrow. Get 10 cents off a gallon. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Jordan Poyer, the not-so-newest Buffalo Bills safety. I will get you, Jordan Poyer, in the next half hour, hopefully, because we got a lot more to get to here. We're going to do it, but we had some good calls. We got another one here from Steve in Texas. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. I just want to preface this by saying, you know, I'm a pretty big Jordan Poyer fan, and, you know, that's the first jersey I ever purchased, and I'm happy to crack it out of retirement this season, even if he's not going to be playing.
All right. You got it.
What I wanted to say was, you know, my biggest memory of Poyer is going back to that Colts playoff game. And I forgot who caught the ball on the Colts, but Jordan waited for the guy to stand up and punch the ball out. And they reviewed the play, and, you know, it should have been a fumble and a recover by Buffalo, but they retained possession of the ball. But just that kind of football intelligence, I'm super happy to have in the safety room. And if, you know, he can just impart some of that on Cole. And even if we have to play him, it's not going to be like when we brought AJ Klein back. You know, I think our floor is just so much higher. And that's kind of the security blanket that you need going into a season where the Super Bowl is the expectation. Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, Steve. I remember that play. Definitely do. I'm looking at it right now. I can't remember. Was it Mo Alley Cox maybe who dropped it? I'm gonna look right now. Hold on, Steve. Now you piqued my interest. That's a great, great point. The intelligence. You're right. You know, Jordan's seen a lot of football and he's been around a lot of football, and the intelligence piece is a really big piece of all this. So I agree with you. I'm gonna look at that. I thought it's a great, great point. And he did. Remember, he wasn't on the ground. And then he got up and Poyer knocked it out. And they said, no, there was a, okay, here it is right here. Maybe hold on. I'm going to see if I got this. No, this is a different review. Okay. I'm going to look this up when I get a chance, 'cause this was great. Anyway, great call. I appreciate that. And that is exactly why, the Bills, you know, brought a guy like that in. And again, I'm not the one to tell you here, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Jordan Poyer, he's back. And as Marvin said, rah-rah. That's not what it's about. It's not rah-rah. You don't have to love it. I totally get why you wouldn't love it. But I just ask you to look at it from the Bills' perspective and maybe you see it from a different angle of why they might do it or why they are doing it, which is to help out their younger players. And here it is. Is this the one? No, I don't. I was stalling to see if I got it. Help out their younger players as they mature and grow. And as Cole Bishop talked about. In fact, you know what? Instead of Poyer, Josh, do you have Cole Bishop in there? Do you have Cole Bishop sound? We can look, and how long is that? Can we play? I want to hear Cole Bishop talk about it. What's that? We don't have that one. Okay, sorry. We don't have the Cole Bishop in there. All right, I thought we did, but we could maybe get to that a little bit later as well. All right, so 803-0550 is the number to call. Listen. The Bills just made a roster move, by the way, just a practice squad roster move. They have signed Jalen Kimber, a corner, and defensive end Andre Jones Jr. to the practice squad. They've released cornerback Daquan Hardy from the practice squad. I mean, these practice squad transactions happen throughout the year, and it's basically a lot of times it's A, maybe a guy just, isn't what you need at the point because of numbers. It's also could be because you want a certain player to kind of be on your scout team and act like another guy on the other team who gives you a little bit more of a look. You could do that as well. If you want to look into, they signed a corner to the practice squad. What does that mean for Trey White? What does that mean for Christian Benford? I'd say, yeah, but they also released a corner, Daquan Hardy. Could be inside, outside, though, and numbers do matter there, right? I just got someone who tweeted me, at Sal Sports, another failed draft pick for Hardy. Yes, like every team has six-round picks who don't play, basically. Like, it'd be great. Christian Benford is a six-round pick, and he's a star, I'd say. He's just got paid a second contract and big money, but come on. A six-round pick. You're throwing darts a lot of times at six-rounder. I just went to that draft, the sixth round of 2024 last year. Who's a good drafting team? Philly's a good drafting team, right? They had a couple picks that round that year. They have a wide receiver, Johnny Wilson, who's caught 5 NFL passes. But he's played. That's good. And they had, I saw another guy here. Who's the other guy they drafted? Philly had another guy here who they drafted in that round. And he has yet to play in the NFL. I don't think Dylan McMahon. I do not see anything from him. What does he play? O-line. He did play. He's played one NFL game.
Sal, I found the play of Poyer.
Okay, go ahead.
I discovered it. It's from the wild card game in 2021. Yes,
yep, I'm looking
Zach
at that.
Zach Pascal, or I'm not sure first name. Pascal is the last name. It's just Z. I have in the box score here. I think it's Zach. But
do you have what timing of the game is it on? Do you have the clock?
50
there?
Seconds left in the fourth quarter on a 4th and 10.
Oh yeah, okay. So it was on. They were driving to try, and they did get the ball back, right? They reversed it, or they held
they
up,
did,
or something.
Yes.
But it was not a play. I'm watching it now. Should the Bills have gotten the ball here? What do you think? Let's watch it. All right. So this is Philip Rivers. He throws it. Pascal gets up and he gets it ripped out of his hands by Milano. I think it was actually not Poyer, but maybe. Let me see who's on the play here.
I think they credited Poyer with the tackle.
Okay, it's over the top. He catches it. Oh yeah, no, Poyer did punch it out. Good call. Then Milano came in late. You know what it is? His knee was just off the ground, but they said it wasn't. I think that's right. Do you remember this game, the 2021 wild card?
Yeah, I remember how close it was.
Right at the end, right? And it came down to a Hail Mary. I'm watching the Hail Mary right now. And remember, that's the year they got beat on the Hail Mary by the Cardinals.
That was.
And then later in the year, they got beat on another Hail Mary at the end of a half by the Chargers. So it was kind of the Hail Mary year. And the Hail Mary comes down at the very end. They throw it up in the air. And then Poyer and Hyde, one of them came up and knocked it down. That was an interesting. You know what I remember about that game? It was one of those like Saturday, really clear sky, cold games. Actually, the game against Denver and that game were very, very, very similar in weather.
That game against Denver last year was, I think, one of the best playoff afternoon games in a long time. Like it just the whole atmosphere and the weather in general just gave it a good vibe for the whole game.
And then Denver, of course, strikes early, right? And they go over the top. And remember, they were up 6-0.
Yeah, right? that was a bit of a scary start to the game, but then it just kind of didn't go anywhere from there.
Franklin with the long touchdown, and then the Bills kind of came back and just pretty much ran through them the rest of the game, or you know, whatever. They came right down the field and scored. It was kind of over after that. The Bills kind of didn't relinquish anything. So, yeah, hey, hopefully we're getting the same kind of vibes and atmosphere here at Highmark Stadium this year. Bills went undefeated at Highmark Stadium last year. I had a chance with Jeremy and Joe to tour the new Highmark Stadium yesterday. I posted a couple videos over on my X at Sal Sports. Folks, I got to tell you, it is coming along great. It looks fantastic. Outside, inside, everything. One thing that really struck me, that overhang, man, no matter where you are covered. It's really cool. Like, when you're up top, I mean, there's obviously some seats down low, you're not as covered, but and you're really covered really nicely. And there is not a bad seat in the house. I don't think there's a bad seat in this house. You're a little farther away because of the way it's structured in the bowl. But good sight lines. There's not a bad seat in that house that I saw yesterday. I'm loving it. Like, what I'm seeing. It's great. Nike rivalry uniforms are out. What do you like about them? What do you not like about them? Bills bringing back Jordan Poyer and Jordan Phillips. Their 53-man roster is set. Syracuse, Tennessee on Saturday. College football, all of it on the table with my guy, Carl Jones from Channel 4, up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Going to get to Carl Jones here in just a little while. Of course, WIVB-TV, Channel 4. One of the main peeps on Bills Kickoff Live, which I'll be a part of once again this year. But before we get to him, we are going to be tomorrow on the road, Matt Bove and I, Signals Gas Station on Southwestern Boulevard in evening, Southwestern Boulevard, I'm sorry, in Irving. That is tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. Stop by, grab some Paula's Donuts while supplies last. Also, register for a chance to win some autographed merch courtesy of Signals. Enjoy 10 cents off a gallon of gas while we are there. Visit WGR550.com. We also have another one coming up at the BFLO store next week. How about that? That's going to be happening Wednesday night. I'll tell you more about that in a little while. My man Carl Jones joins me now. I don't want to keep him waiting because I want to hear his thoughts on these new Nike rivalry uniforms. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you. I'm happy you thought of me and having me on.
Yeah, you got it. All right. Did you see the Bills Nike rivalry uniforms? And if you did, what is your immediate first reaction?
I did see them. I thought they were dope. I honestly thought they were dope. I don't think they were too much. I didn't think they like were a lot. And I think that's how I am with my jerseys. I don't like, you know, if your colors are blue and red, I don't like you busting out neon all of a sudden. So I thought that they kept the color wheel within the realm of what the Bills could wear. So for that, I like them.
I'm a clean uniform guy. I like clean look. Like, I like Penn State's uniforms. Sorry, I know you're Ohio State guy. I like Penn State's uniforms because the cleanness, the clean look of them. UB, the white UB reminds me a lot. These uniforms remind me of the white UB uniforms. They kind of look like them. I'm into that. I like those slick looks.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Like, and listen, I know the Penn State rivalry is deep, but I like their uniforms just like I like USC's and Alabama's. I love that just simplistic look. So, yeah, I like that Bills look for that reason. Once again, they're not doing too much. I like the little emblem on the side. I know the reason why they have to wear them in week 5, but it would be so cool if they could bust those out in late December. But nonetheless, I don't think it's some groundbreaking, oh, my gosh, best uniform I've ever seen. But they're nice, and I can see fans having fun with those.
All right, so Penn State, a rivalry to the team you grew up rooting for, Ohio State, also to Syracuse. There was a very, very big rivalry many, many years, Syracuse-Penn State. They're going to renew that, I think, at some point here, but they haven't played in a while. But let's transition that to Syracuse real quick. What was the favorite, what was the best look you had on at Syracuse? Because over the years, they've also added colors. They've added orange. They've added white. They've had the blue. What's your favorite Syracuse combination you wore?
Man, I can vividly remember this. We were down playing at Miami and that stadium down there, and we were in all white with the chrome orange helmet face mask. It was the ESPN game, night game, so you know the lights in the stadium had the chrome looking nice and all that.
Yeah.
It looked dope. I really appreciate just the all white. I think that's probably my favorite uniform combination. No matter the team, you can just do all white and make it look good. That was probably mine.
Syracuse, Tennessee. Speaking of orange, a lot of orange going to be in Atlanta. The kickoff game Saturday, 12 p.m. Syracuse is a big underdog here, Carl. Almost 2 touchdowns. But you know what? If there's a team I give a fighting chance to, it's any team coached by Fran Brown from what I've seen, buddy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And in our favor, obviously, it was a huge controversy this offseason, but Tennessee's quarterback is no longer there. He's now on the West Coast playing at UCLA. So we'll have that in our favor. I mean, I know Syracuse will be busting out a new week one starter, but Tennessee will be doing the same. So that's a good thing. Obviously, Tennessee, they usually have 6-7 NFL guys a year. So that'll be an uphill battle. Just like, I mean, I don't know if people realize, but there were a ton of NFL players on that Syracuse team last year that we have to replace on both sides of the ball. So it'll be challenging, but like you just mentioned, I've been around Fran maybe 4 or 5 times, and each time I want to just tell him, I will sneak my way and get another year of eligibility. I got to play for you. I got
no doubt. He's that kind of guy. Steve Angeli, by the way, the Syracuse quarterback, he transferred from Notre Dame. He'll be starting. Last year, they get the transfer from Ohio State, Kyle McCord. This year, it's a transfer from Notre Dame, and that's kind of the new world we live in here. I've talked to people around college football, Carl, who it makes sense. They say, look, we're not recruiting high school kids anymore, which is a shame, because by the time you recruit them, you get them here, you're going to wind up losing them probably within a couple of years. So now it's just about getting whoever you can out of the transfer portal to come in. It's a totally different world we live in.
Oh, most certainly. And like, and to add on to that, you're better off getting the junior college or the guy that's transfer from another university, because you don't have the longevity to stick around and see if the kid's good or not as a college coach in this era. Like, I have 2 years to 3 years max. I can't afford to wait on an 18-year-old kid to develop. Yeah. So, I mean, I have to bring a gun to a gunfight. I can't afford to wait on, you know, back in the day, we're like, oh, okay, we had a really young team everywhere with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. You do that, well, the boosters are coming for your head. So I think if someone like myself, I was a three-star guy across the board, there's a 0% chance I would have gone to Syracuse coming out of high school. I would have had to work my way up, probably starting the MAC and then make up there. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but, I mean, hey, it's the world we live in now. It is what it is.
Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame in the mix as well. Is that the right top 5-6 grouping in your mind this year right now to start?
Yeah, I would say so. Penn State's returning the most. Drew Aller from actually watched him growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. So he's the Penn State quarterback. Texas, they're going to get the most eyeballs, partly because of Texas, partly because another Manning royalty. The family is now the lineage that in Austin. Ohio State defending national champs. Oregon reloaded again. So, yeah, I think that's the appropriate top of the country.
And then finally, tonight, University of Buffalo taking on Minnesota. Nice test for Pete Lembo and the UB Bulls. I really love what Pete Lembo's done with this program. We're just talking about NIL. You know, he's keeping guys. You know, it's about retention here, too. And it's not like they're over there paying all these guys a whole boatload of money. They're keeping them here because of what they built, because of the culture. So, you know, there was a streak, Carl. It ended last year, I believe, if I'm right on this. It was like 10 or 12 straight years where a MAC school beat a Big Ten school in a game. And I think that ended last year, actually. But this happens sometimes. MAC school, especially early in the year, when these other teams like Minnesota or other teams might be piecing rosters together. Here comes UB with a group that's been together, and you never know. I think they'll show well tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The one thing I liked about Pete Lembo's team last year, and it's hard to put a number on it, but you know it when you see it. I've watched UB twice last year in person, and the team just plays hard. And I know that sounds cliche. I know that sounds like, yeah, every team that's playing football plays hard. No, but it's different when you see it up close and personal. And I felt as if even when it was like 25, 30 degrees outside, when I was frigid on the sideline, his team was still playing super hard. And that's something that can translate year over year, no matter the talent on your roster. Obviously, some years you will have more W's in the win column because of the talent. But that was the one thing that I took away from watching this team last year. That team, both sides of the ball, special teams, they're out there hitting, thumping, and that's always fun to watch as a fan.
Carl Jones, WIVB Channel 4, joining me on the West Her Hotline. The Bills bring back Jordan Poyer and Jordan Phillips. Carl, in your travels, you know, playing college football, you played the highest levels of college football. What did it mean to you when you had a guy, when you were young, when you were a freshman or sophomore, to have a guy that had gone through it, a senior near you maybe? And did you ever experience also, you don't have to call anybody out when I ask you this part of it, did you ever experience maybe somebody who wasn't really having your best interest in mind that didn't want to work with you? And what's the difference there?
Man, that's a fabulous question. And I think it's real on both sides. First off, when I was a young guy, it was so beneficial to have a vet in the room because – To travel back in time a little bit, I was Dino Babers' first year at Syracuse. So it was a whole big regime change. A lot of the seniors stayed, even though they understood that the coaching staff was probably going to focus more on the younger players. And when I initially got there, even though you can tell there was some resentment, a lot of the guys were like, listen, football is football, but we need to teach you about life. We need to teach you how to get to class and how to maneuver around this campus. And that same logic can apply to the National Football League, where a Poyer comes in and he can teach a Hancock, a Bishop. I mean, Hamlin's not that old. I think he's like 26, 27. Just teaching just about life, man. Like just all the nooks and crannies that goes with being a professional athlete. And then on the flip side, I personally didn't have a player that didn't have my best interest at heart. But I will be lying if I said by the time I didn't become a senior, I didn't see how my fellow teammates didn't sometimes how they talk to the young guys and how they maybe didn't stay the extra 15 minutes after practice to watch film or to go through the same mundane drill that I got when I was a young guy. So I think that that's always super important. When you're an impressionable young player and you're just looking for anyone for help and you're drowning, there's certain concepts you're not getting. The coaches are trying to tell you stuff, but you feel like I don't want to let them down, so I'm not going to ask them too many questions. That's the one benefit of having an OG, as we like to call them, an OG in the room that can help steer you in the right direction.
No doubt. What do you think that Jordan Poyer can provide for the Buffalo Bills in that capacity, in that role, given what you've seen from Cole Bishop and where their safety room is right now?
Yeah, I think the one thing, and Brandon Bean touched on this yesterday, Wednesday's press conference, where a lot of times some players, they just aren't as receptive to when a coach says it as opposed to when a player says it. Like, they can say the same exact thing, but it hits different when someone that's your peer says that same information. Like if Poyer were to say, hey man, I need you at 15 yards and pedal off the hash as soon as the ball is snapped, I know that sounds trivial, but some people, it's easier for them to retain that information if it's a player as opposed to a coach. And there are a bunch of other examples like that. Like if a coach tells you, oh, you better watch film. Well, like, yeah, whatever. But then if a player tells you, you need to watch film and this is how you do it, that's the sum of the stuff. We're like, oh, okay. Like, I see that someone who's been there, done that, they're telling me how to do it. I will do it in this manner. So I think that's the one benefit. I don't know necessarily in terms of just on the field stuff, because at the end of the day, man, you're either tough enough to play this game or you're not. But there are a bunch of other stuff that allows you to excel on the field before you even get there. So I think Jordan Poyer can help out with.
Let's look back at the 53-man roster and, you know, the decisions that were made. The Bills do keep Tyrell Shavers. Did you expect that? Was that the right call?
Yeah, I did. And I just want to give him a lot of credit for how he bounced back from that injury that he suffered early on in camp. I wasn't there that day, but you, Josh Reed, and a bunch of other people were – it would happen right in front of you where he was carted off after a freak incident. And the fact that he bounced back so quick, I think he was back within practice within a week, and he got even better. Like, the first week of practice, I didn't really notice him, and then he bounced back, started making great plays in camp that translated to the preseason. I'm sure you've talked about this because you're big on this as well. I always was of the assumption – yes, he's a good receiver, but he's going to have to show something else because at the end of the day, there's only so many jerseys available on a roster. And the fact that he was on kickoff, he was on punt, he was on kickoff return, showed his value to where the Bills are saying, you know what? Yeah, those six snaps that receiver may not, we can give that to anyone. But the fact that he can take up 10 snaps a game on special teams as well, that's beneficial. I remember you telling me that he was excellent at the Chicago's joint practice, and
yes,
had nothing to do with how he was as a receiver. It was all special teams.
He was, and they were trying to see if they could do that, if that works, because if you're going to be the sixth wide receiver on an NFL team, you can only justify it by making sure you're good on special teams because you're not getting enough on the field to justify it by that much. Linebacker is another area that was very interesting. Shaq Thompson, if you would have asked me, Carl, when they signed Shaq Thompson back in May, I think it was, if he's going to make the 53, I'd be like, yeah, probably not. Veteran in the room. He'll be good for the offseason. Keep him on the practice squad. I think Shaq Thompson has a role on this team. I think Shaq Thompson's going to be on the field for the Buffalo Bills this year in some capacity and probably in some sort of base defense next to Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. When they brought him in, I'm like, oh, okay. Not to be disrespectful, I thought they were just throwing him a ball. A guy who's recovering from injury and Dean and McDermott have a relationship with him. Like, hey, we just want to give you some – just throw you a bone real quick and just see what you got. And I don't know if that was the conversation, but I will tell you that first week at Fisher when he started running out with the twos and as the backup middle linebacker, I was like, wait a second. They have a lot more envision for him than I initially thought. And when Bernard went down for a little bit with, I believe, a hamstring injury, Shaq Thompson was running with the one. So I think that they have a lot in store for him. It wouldn't be like some big package, but like you said, hey, week one, base defense, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, let's bring in the vet to be a bit of a thumper. So, yeah, Shaq Thompson is going to play a lot more than I believe everyone anticipated when he first signed with the Bills.
And then, of course, at the return spot, which affects wide receiver, no Laviska Shenault, not even on the practice squad. Brandon Codrington is that guy. I've anticipated that. He does not offer that much at all in the secondary, which was always kind of the thing you'd always hope for. But it just seemed like they never found someone who really could vault over him who could do that, though. So that's why you go with him. And it looks like to join him on kickoffs will probably just be Ty Johnson or Ray Davis then, I guess.
Yeah, I anticipated that was going to be the case as well, especially because Codrington, he's one of the more – he's a pure punt returner as well, and I think that's a little bit – easier to justify keeping the guy who's a good punt returner as opposed to the kick return because the rules are so different these days where, like, I don't want to say you can throw anyone back there at kick return, but it's easier to put someone at that spot and coach them up per se to be effective in that role as opposed to a punt returner. You either are born with the gift of wanting to look up in the air while someone is running a 440 down the pipe or you're not. And Codrington has shown that he's getting super duper close to breaking one soon, so I wasn't too shocked that he made the roster.
All right, team turns its attention to the Baltimore Ravens. Where are you on the Ravens and what they could be in 2025? Right up there still with the Buffalo Bills as far as AFC contenders. Where are you on where the Ravens are right now?
I will put them in the Bills and along with the Chiefs in that just same bucket at the top where I wouldn't be surprised if either of those three teams come out. I think they're super duper talented. Obviously, I mean, 1 through 10, we've talked about this off air. Their first player down to their 10th, I don't know if any team in football besides maybe the Eagles can go bar for bar with them with the amount of all pros and pro bowlers they have. They are just a team, even more so than the Bills, have the worst mental errors and mistakes year in and year out. It starts with your quarterback, obviously. Your quarterback in the biggest moments doesn't come through. Then you have, obviously, the Mark Andrews plays, the ill-advised penalties they get each year. I hate to be this guy because every week matters in the NFL, but the Ravens are one of those teams where it's, yeah, I just want to see it in late December and January, right? But I think they're going to be an excellent team, and they provide a lot of challenges, not just to the Bills, but every single team, which I think is the what the conversation needs to be about heading into week one. A lot of people are going to say, oh, the Bills are a small team. How can they stop them on defense? The Ravens are good. They're going to give problems to everyone. I think that's where I think some of that oxygen needs to go towards.
Follow Carl on Twitter at Jones11_. Bills kickoff live coming this week, next week, I should say, and then throughout the season. Looking forward to being on that panel again with you, buddy. Always enjoy our talks. And, of course, go orange, but the right orange on Saturday, not the Tennessee orange.
There we go. Yeah, go orange. And about 3:30 Saturday, I'll be texting you saying we didn't pull it off another upset.
I love it, buddy. I love it. All right, be good. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you got it. Carl Jones right there. Hey, let's get to Jordan Poyer. He spoke yesterday to the media. We'll do that very quickly, and then we will have Patrick Hammer on your Labor Day.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, weather at the bottom of the hour. Here is Jordan Poyer from yesterday down at One Bills Drive.
What was it? Jordan just told us it was Buffalo or nothing.
Yeah. Sure. You know, this is where my heart is. You know, this is where home is. Where, you know, I essentially grew up in this game, on and off the field. You know, my daughter's grown up in this town, the city, and you know, I feel like this is a way for me to be able to give back. to the community, to this team. And, you know, I feel like I can still give back to the game in many ways, you know, whether that be on the field or off the field. And, you know, like I said, this is where my heart is. I'm extremely thankful to be here. It's surreal. Yesterday I was on a jet ski with my daughter in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And now we're here to finish the first practice of the season. And, you know, again, I'm just extremely thankful to be here.
Jordan said, make a mistake. He's here to mentor, and he'll accept that role. He still believes that he can make plays and
sure.
contribute. Where do you stand?
Absolutely. You know, again, I feel like I can help in many ways. You know, I'm 34 now. You know, I'm not getting any younger. I understand that. But at the same time, I still feel like I have gas left in the tank. Last year, you know, put asterisks by it. You know, it was a tough year all around. You know, and I'm not going to, you know, throw anything at what went down over there. But at the same time, you know, it was a hard year. And again, I'm just extremely thankful to be here. And I still feel like I got a lot left to prove to myself, to this game, you know, to the people around me. And, you know, I keep the receipts. So I'm working hard. I'm coming in, my head down, and just going to work, you know, help the guys, be an extra set of eyes, extra set of ears, and just be a service. But don't get me wrong, I'm also here to play football, you know, at a high level. And today was a fun to get back on the field. It's fun to see the guys. It's fun to see everybody. And, you know, I'm excited. Excited to be here.
Trey was in the same boat. He felt almost lost being away from Buffalo. He felt like this was a place that he felt like home.
Sure.
What's it like to be in familiar surroundings with Phillips and Trey still here?
Sure.
A lot of guys like
this? Yeah, it's, again, I'm just extremely thankful. You know, coming here in 2017, you know, this team is, you know, on a totally different side of the map as it was then. It's awesome to see, you know, even, you know, being in Miami last year, I'm paying attention to everything that's going on out here. You know, these are my guys, these are my friends, my teammates that I've been with for a long time. And, you know, even some of the new guys, you can see why they bring guys like Keon Coleman in here. You know, they bring some of the young Jordan Hancocks in here and the Cole Bishops. And so, you know, I want to, again, just be here to be of service. And again, I'm here to play football too, because it is what I love and I have a passion for. But I want to help this team win in any way that I can.
You saw the path from a distance of what Micah did at the end of last year and kind of the mentoring role and everything. Did you reach out to him? Did you guys talk
sure.
about it a little bit?
Yeah.
What were those conversations like?
Yeah, we've had plenty of conversations. We actually were on the phone 2 days ago. I had mentioned to him I was coming out here. He was super excited for me. And just kind of giving me, you know, we had conversations before at his retirement party and whatnot, but just, you know, just kind of giving me of his insight of how, you know, and he wasn't wrong. You know, today is very humbling in a sense of, you know, the ones go out there and the twos go out there and you're not out there, right? You're on the look squad and, you know, and it's a very humbling, and it will be a very humbling experience. But at the same time, I do feel like this is, it's a great opportunity for me. You know, as a person, as a player, you know, at this point in my career, to, you know, just be myself and go out there and help where needed. And again, I'm just extremely excited for the opportunity. I'm excited to be back in the community. I'm excited to be around the guys every day, locker room talk, you know, DB dinners. Although Taryn told me I did have to pay for the first one. I don't know how, because I am on the practice squad, but we'll see about that. But no, again, just extremely thankful to be here.
What is it like, you talked about the trajectory years changed since you got here. What is it like having been part of that upward trajectory, having been part of that foundation that was laid in 2017? As you reflect back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I'm sitting on my patio at home and you're reflecting and that moment in that time, right, of all the things that we had been through to just even be here right now, right? And, you know, I've seen it on, you know, I've heard Sean say it over and over again every single year, and I've seen it on the Hard Knocks, you know, what you've done in the past, what you did last year, what you've done the year before, it does not matter, right? You have to, every year is a new year, and every, it takes, you know, every day, every rep, and to continue to get better, to be good in this league. It's hard to win. It's hard league to win in, and it's each and every week, each and every day. And again, you know, this culture has that identity to want to win every single day and want to get better every single day. And, you know, that's an exciting thing to be part of. Guys who just want to compete and get better every single day and hold each other accountable, which is also a huge part. And so, again, I'm just extremely thankful to be here. And it's been awesome to see the love and support from, you know, everybody. And I thought it was kind of 50-50, but, you know, it seems like a little bit more. People lean on my side, so it's good.
Jordan, you mentioned the culture. You were a part of that 2017 team that Sean, you know, it was just beginning, right? And now, you know, you see his growth into year 9 as a head coach. How have you seen him change, evolve, adapt in that time?
I mean, yeah, I just – he's done exactly that. He's adapted, he's evolved, he's grown, he's learned, he's made mistakes, he's learned from them, and he's continued to grow. And that's really all you can ask for in anybody in life, especially in the head coaching job, to continue to motivate your players to want to play for them, to want to keep coming back. You get guys coming back, myself, Jordan Phillips, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, like, there's reason guys want to keep coming back here, and Sean is a huge part of that. He's a player's coach. He holds you accountable, holds you to a standard, and expects that out of you. And he doesn't treat one person different over there, one person different over there. He's a player's coach who I'm extremely thankful to even have played for. And to come here in 2017 with him, I'll kind of always hold that dearly to my heart. But it's been cool to see him grow as a person, as a coach. And, you know, I'm excited to do everything that I can to help him get his first Super Bowl.
Can you tell us a little bit about just how you prepared for the season over the last couple of months, knowing that this was...
Sure. I mean, I'm just down in South Florida where it's hot and humid and just running and lifting and trying to get myself to the point of throwing up sometimes, because I know, you know, running out there is different than football shape. And so, you know, just doing everything I can, the mind, body, and spirit, just keeping them fresh. And, you know, the mental part of my game has been a huge, huge asset to me over the last, you know, 5-6 years, really learning about the power of my mind and how to, whether it's a bad play or a good play, just continue to move on, continue to grow, continue to learn and evolve and adapt. So I feel good, though. I feel good. I got a lot of work to do. You know, today was... It's a great first day for me to go out there, but I got a lot of work to do that I want to keep doing, and you know, I'm coming in like it's rookie year.
You touched on a little bit earlier, but Brandon joked that Jordan called me, you know, very frequently. How often were those conversations? Did you feel like, man, I'm picking this phone up and calling one more time just to see?
Yeah, it's weird. I wanted to call him while I was in the 305 last year. I don't know. I saw Trey coming back, and had a couple conversations with Jordan. Bean and I had conversations over throughout the summer, and the ball just kept started rolling. Again, last year, it's a super bad taste in my mouth. Just, you know, the way that season was, the way that, you know, it could have been my last year in the league, and I didn't want to necessarily go out that way. This is home. This is where I want to be. And this is, I said it when I signed an extension here in 2023, like, this is where I want to retire. And I meant that, you know, just because, you know, I was released from here, right? Like, and this is a business. I understand that. But I was released from here. My agent is Drew. Drew has some really good connections in South Florida. So, I mean, you put two and two together, they just kind of worked out. I lived down there, so it just kind of worked out. Learned a lot. It was a great experience. Met some really cool guys. Again, it was just super tough. And, you know, again, I'm just excited and grateful to be here in this moment right here with this team and these people who are in this organization.
Gordon, you mentioned the conversation has been on for months. How does that start? How does it start?
Well, I came out here for the golf tournament. I came out here for Lan's Big Dubs golf tournament in OTAs. I wanted to surprise the guys because, you know, that golf tournament was essentially my golf tournament that I put on a couple years ago. They kept it going, so it's good. It's good. They keep it going. But I came out to surprise the guys, and When I was out here during that time, I hit up Bean. I just wanted to go chop it up with him because that was the first time that I had spoke with him since he released me. You know, felt like I just needed to hash some things out because did I feel some type of way from getting released here? Of course. This is where I wanted to be. This is where my home was. But again, I understand this business. I understand where he's at, the position that he's in, and I'm okay with that. So I went, you know, him and I just had a conversation. Like, look, I don't want to go play nowhere else. You know, it's either Buffalo or it's nowhere. And, you know, and then the ball just started rolling. And, you know, here I am, grateful for the opportunity, grateful to be here.
He met with the media yesterday at One Bills Drive. We will take a timeout when we come back. Patrick Hammer, Channel 2 chief meteorologist, on your Labor Day weather. And what might the football season hold for us overall?
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
It's been a while since we heard from my guy, Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist, and now the weather is changing for sure. This week, into this weekend, football season is here. We're going to hear from Pat every single week, like we have for the last several years, a very, very important and popular segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So glad to have him back this year and welcoming back today, a week earlier than the NFL season, to talk about Labor Day weekend. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. You said the weather's going to change. It's going to change in about an hour. Okay.
So, okay. First question. Do I need to go outside and cover patio furniture for rain?
Yes. That is so funny because I'm about to do that very thing. We have this outdoor patio set. I'm always a little late to cover it before the rain. Then it gets rusty and I get yelled at and everybody in, you know. But yes, if you have the opportunity to get out and make sure your windows are rolled up, cover the back door, the backyard patio stuff, because this will be like the first, like, I know it rained a couple days ago and we got some healthy rain. This will be like the first widespread soaking rain that we've gotten around here in a long time, and that's coming in a few hours.
And how long will it last?
So it's going to be, it's almost probably around 2 o'clock or so-ish is when it should start. And it's not going to be like the summertime thunderstorm. This is going to be more like the sky's going to get dark, breezy, colder, and a soaking rain. So for the entirety of the afternoon and into the evening. So the commute will be slow. And if you've got outdoor sports, you've got football practice or something going on this afternoon, tennis, whatever it is, you're going to need a plan B.
Okay. So tomorrow, Matt Bove and I are going to be down in at Signals Gas Station in Irving, 3 to 5 p.m. We're going to be there, 10 cents off a gallon. People come by, Paula's Donuts. You can enter to win autographed merchandise from TSC. It's going to be an awesome time. Always game day in Buffalo. Before that, I'm playing a little golf before that down in that area. What does tomorrow look like for everybody? And then we'll get into the weekend.
Okay. So, first of all, tomorrow is going to look like week 8 of the NFL season, okay? It's going to feel like late October. It's not the best timing of your golf plan, Sal. I got to be honest with you. Not that it's going to be terribly rainy tomorrow. It's just going to be kind of cloudy, kind of cold. Tomorrow has the chance of being the coldest April 29th on record in terms of a day.
August.
Okay. Did I say October? August.
You said April.
Did I say, okay, it's going to feel like April. That's what I'm trying to say. Let me get this straight. Tomorrow is August 29th. Tomorrow will be close to the coldest August 29th we've had on record in terms of a daytime high. The coldest August 29th is 60 degrees, and tomorrow's high is forecast to be 62. So it is going to be a deep fall-like day tomorrow.
Okay. What are we looking at for the weekend? It is Labor Day weekend. We've had this big chill down, and then what happens after that?
Yeah. So we've had a really nice. I mean, I'm gonna summarize this summer as being borderline hot, very dry. We've had 8 90 degree days this season. We averaged 3. Okay. So you would like to think, okay, this Labor Day, we'll kind of wrap up our summer and kind of, you know, maybe it could be an example of what our entire summer was like. So despite the weather today and tomorrow, the weather does take a turn for the Labor Day weekend. It looks really nice. Saturday, kind of a mix of clouds and sun. Not spectacular, but not awful. But we're going to be in the 60s, okay? Sunday and Labor Day itself look beautiful. Sunshine, temperatures in the 70s. So despite, yes, the heavy rain at times later today, despite the October-like feel tomorrow, things kind of chill out and mellow out and get warmer for the weekend. So it looks pretty good.
All right. So, you know, I know you say don't look at the apps and all that, but when I, every time I look at something about weather and I look kind of look projected out, looks like we're going to be okay though. Right. I mean, I'm still seeing some mid 70s still here in September. It's not like this,
yes,
this coldness is going to be sticking around for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And when I say apps are fine, but it sometimes it just gives you like a symbol for one day and it doesn't like give you any perspective. Right. So apps are fine, but I'm just thinking more of the hour by hour stuff. So as we look to next week, okay, it does warm up. Okay, we have a couple of days. In fact, I think Labor Day, Monday, Tuesday could flirt with 80. All right.
Ooh,
however,
wow,
this shot of cool air that's coming tonight into tomorrow, we're going to do it all over again next week. Okay. So there will be some early warmth for September next week. Summer is not over, despite how it will look this afternoon. Summer is not over, but another shot, and this is why I bring this up, of cold air is going to arrive for the weekend leading up to our Bills game against the Ravens. Okay. We're 10 days out. Okay. If you look at things and kind of how things pace together, this shot of cool air would arrive late next week into the weekend, but be on the way out in time for Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. So if things are looking like I see them unfolding, we will be going from a colder weather pattern to a warmer one, and that often does not mean rain. So if you were to, you know, if you were to force me to make a forecast for next Sunday, I would say it does not look wet at this point, and it looks like it could actually be kind of a lovely day, quite frankly, and a lovely night.
Maybe a little cool, but it's football, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it might be a little cool, but it's football. It's a night game, and you know, come on, like we do games in 20 degrees here. This is my, what are we talking, 60-something, who cares, right? It's great. We'll take
it. Exactly.
It's a night game in Buffalo. That's great. That's great for the for the prospects of what we're looking at opening weekend, Ravens at Bills. I'm not forcing you, but I appreciate that, and then we will get to more into that next Friday. You'll have a bigger handle. What about the overall football season and just kind of where things kind of trend for you right now and what you've seen as far as patterns and this fall and into the next couple months?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to kind of – we spoke maybe it was with your other guy with Zach and Josh a couple weeks ago.
And Derek.
But we took a peek at Derek. Yeah, thank you. And this winter has an opportunity of being an interesting one. There are things that we're seeing and noticing that suggest the possibility of a cooler winter. Hard to predict snow at this point, but we're going to be in kind of a La Nina or very weak La Nina weather pattern, and that tends to be colder for the Great Lakes. So, you know, maybe it's good that our first 4 out of 5 games are at home this season, right?
Yeah,
so we're going to get a lot of the good weather here. But, you know, those, you know, and as we talked about, a lot of our games are kind of, we don't go out west. A lot of our games are close to home. And
Of them are at night, by the way. The three night games, the home games, there's a lot of night games early, so it's a little bit cooler, obviously, than the afternoon
games. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm just, I have a feeling that we have a lot of cold weather cities to play in this season, including our own. You know, this could be like, what was it, 2022, when we had all sorts of winter challenges, if you will, with our football games, and that may be the case this year, too.
Did you, speaking of winter, did you see the new uniforms that we've been talking about? Did you see them?
Cold front is coming. I love it.
Yeah. Do you like it? They're pretty cool, aren't they?
I think they're pretty nifty. I like them. I like the kind of just the steely gray color with the white and kind of that the Buffalo Bill. I thought it was very cool. I thought it was very cool.
Perfect for somebody who makes their living in weather, for sure. No doubt about it.
Uniforms. When I saw a cold front was coming, of course, that got me kind of jacked. I was kind of like with the old Steve Tasker. Remember we did that promo a couple years ago? It's going to get cold. It might be chilly. Yeah. I kind of got the same vibe.
I mean,
that,
but so, here's the only thing I didn't like. I did not like the Patriots kind of using, like, theirs was a winter storm is coming. I'm like, what? It's New England. On. What are you doing? Give me a break. Right. That's us, right? What do we got to do that. Hey, buddy, thank you. We look forward to talking again. I do every week. And then we start it next Friday. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and I appreciate you.
All right, we'll talk next week. Look forward to it.
All right, you got it. You got it. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll wrap up the program after this time out here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But before we do, I have to let you know that this show is going live on location, all right, at Northtown Kia next Thursday, the day of the NFL opener. You got Cowboys, you got Eagles, you got me, 10 to 12. Stop by Northtown Kia next Thursday during this show. Say hi. Grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last. Score some awesome WGR swag. Register to win an autographed Buffalo Bills item courtesy of Northtown Kia. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. I'll be there September 4th at Northtown Kia doing this show. Okay, check this out. BFLO Store. It's always game day in Buffalo. Next week, Matt Bove and me. Join us Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., Transit Town Plaza in Williamsville. Be a part of the live audience. We can, we'll be talking about our takes, giving them ahead of the NFL season, everything's going on, Buffalo Bills. Shop their massive selection of Buffalo Bills gear, including BFLO's own tailgate collection. Get all the details now at WGR550.com. We're going to see you September 3rd. Matt Bove and I, BFLO Store. They are the official retailer of the Buffalo Bills. Folks, you got tomorrow at Signals 3 to 5, me and Matt doing the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. You got the BFLO Store next Wednesday, 6:30. Matt and I doing the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. You have, what else got? Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, this one, next Thursday. Next Wednesday night is BFLO Store. Next Thursday, 10 to 12, I'll be at Northtown Kia. And then on September 6th, check this out. Rally on the River, the home opener festival, Saturday, September 6th at Buffalo Riverworks. Sports Talk Saturday kicks off at 10 a.m. Derek Kramer and Joe Cali. I'm going to be there from noon to 2. Admission is free. They got the Bills, they got the Mafia Boat Parade at 1. The official after party at 3, autographs with Deion Dawkins, live music, local vendors, rides, bounce houses, chalk artists, Rally on the River, September 6th, Buffalo Riverworks. Check them out, buffaloriverworks.com. Did I hit everything? I think I did. You got a lot going on. A lot going on. And I'm excited to be a part of it. That's what we do. It's football season. It's football season. It's here. Check us out tomorrow. Hope to see you at Signals, 3 to 5 p.m. Then next week, Wednesday night, BFLO Store. 6:30 p.m. Matt Bove and I, both of those. I'll be doing this show next Thursday, Northtown Automotive, Northtown Kia. And then Rally on the River, September 6th. We got Sabres live up next. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. I will not be on tomorrow because I'll be at Signals 3 o'clock. Hope to see you there. And then we have Labor Day weekend. Have a great one. I'll talk to you next time I do here on WGR.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The cat sat on the mat. Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.